Thank you for this evening. Thank you for your presence and your word and your power. We thank you for the privilege of being able to gather together and study your word. And we thank you for Apostle. We thank you for his life. We thank you for the vision that you've given him, the mission that you've given him, God. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. Open up our hearts, God. Holy Spirit, if you don't touch this word, we are here doing nothing but rambling. So I ask you to touch my tongue. Let me speak the things you want to be said. Touch their hearts so they're able to receive everything that's said. Let us come to a further knowledge of you and what you want and what you expect and your original purpose for our lives. Not just seeing in the dark, God, and not just seeing in a haze, but seeing clarity on what you're calling for us to do. We want to be effective. And so, Holy Spirit, the only way we can be fully effective is if you lead us and guide us and anoint us and touch us and give us your wisdom. We thank you so much for what you're going to say. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Close the door behind you, unless somebody's coming. Last week, we kind of started off with what the church is. I got to start off with this, though. Now you're looking at me wondering why my phone is hanging. We talk about government. We base everything on government. This is what this is about. I like to call this apostolic school. It's not just normal school, it's apostolic school. We know the basis of government. It's about connection. It's about submission. It's about being in line. It's about knowing your place. It's about being able to submit to authority. It's about understanding what the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers do, the places that they play. Somewhere along the line, you find out what your place is. And connecting properly so that the funnel from heaven can be open. This is when we accomplish church unusual. And I'm walking, and it's a funny thing. I'm walking, and I was leaving out the back. And usually back there, I'm a student in the back, and I'm leaving out the back, and I called him to get my phone charger from my phone. And so I'm walking. I got my books, I'm trucking. I got my phone in my hand, and I'm looking at the person walking down. Mr. Fred is walking down. Fred is walking down the sidewalk. And I'm looking, and I'm preparing my mind to shake his hand because that's the proper thing to do. You meet somebody, you greet them. And some kind of way, I dropped my phone. Now, I've broken about 5 or 6 iPhones. And when you drop these phones, it's not the best feeling in the world. Especially when they fall flat on their face, you don't know where this cracked. It's almost like the moment of truth. And you don't want to flip it over. So I'm walking, I got the card in my hand. And at first I was connected to the card because I was trying to charge. But I'm walking, and, I got all this stuff in my hand, I'm shuffling, and my phone drops. So, my mind is like, oh, Lord, I get another phone. But that card caught it. Kept it from hitting the ground. And I said these words, I said, thank you, Lord, for the card. Yeah. Sound funny, and it sounds like, but the Lord, I'm preparing, I'm trying to hear what the Holy Ghost is doing. The Holy Ghost can bring a bird across here, drop 2 rocks, and I'm going to get a message. That's just, I'm looking for him. All right, I'm always looking for him. I prepared. I know what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about some things in this book. But I said, thank you, Lord, for the card. And he started ministering me right on that sidewalk by connection. And he said, your connection to keep you from falling, even when you're not trying to drop. And nobody in their right mind is trying to fall. Tell the truth. Nobody in their right mind is trying to drop. You're not doing it. But sometimes that happens. Because we're human, it's human nature, right? Sometimes we'll make a mistake, we'll get on the wrong way. And when I say fall, I ain't talking about falling into sin. Don't get your mind out of this. Church unusual. Get your mind off of that. All right. I'm just talking about making a misstep sometimes. Anybody ever trip and fell before? Yeah, you ever did it by yourself and then you looked around to see if anybody saw you? And wasn't nobody to blame but yourself. But I said, thank you, Lord, for the card. And he said that connection to keep that card, that connection on that card, and the connection where it's connected, that kept that phone from hitting the ground. And he said, your connection will keep you from hitting the ground. So now I got 2 things to charge, and I'm not going to be running around swinging the card. I'm not reckless with it. I won't be reckless with my connection. But I understand that if I slip or if something happens, I'll make a misstep. That connection that I have to whatever apostle I'm hooked up to, that connection that I have to my apostle is going to keep me from scathing my foot. Out of busting my head, if you get what I'm saying. It'll keep me from falling. I said, thank you, Lord, for the card. Say it.
Thank you, Lord, for the card.
Now, the question is, do you have a card? And if you have a card, are you connected? Yeah. See, the card got 2 reasons now. It keep me from falling and it keep me charged.
That's right.
Without that card, there is no power in that phone. Without that card, there is no juice in that phone. Oh, what was this? I can disconnect from the card. And my phone say I got 38% right now. So after that 38 go, I ain't got no more. After that 38 go, I better hook back up. If I hook back up, ain't no more power. What the problem most preachers do is they don't connect and they try to leave when they get a little charge. They get a little charge and leave and then they run out. You know, you can do everything on that phone. 38%, I can call people, I can text people, I can send out emails, I can check my Twitter, my Facebook, I can do a lot of stuff on that. I can use it as a light in the car. I can use it until that 38% is gone. You know, scripture says, no man should think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And a lot of times, that's why you got to, humility is a major thing in ministry. All being humble is, I totally depend on God. It is not about me. Humility is a major thing because it's very easy to get some power going and think that you it. But the connection is imperative. Thank you, Lord, for the call. Thank you, Lord, for the call. Thank you, Lord, for the call. He started telling me this is church unusual. Now, when I come to church, or when I'm going to church, or when I'm ministering at church, this is not for church as usual, to go through your religious rigmarole, or to go through your religious songs that you like, or to do the things, or to stand up and say the things that you think church is supposed to be. No, there should be something supernatural happening all the time. When I come to church, I should be coming here to get a charge.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, we can't sleep at the church. We can't stay at the church, right? Because you got other places to go, right? The Bible says, go ye into all the world, right? So we got other places to go. But when we come to the church, when somebody steps into the church, not the church, when somebody steps into the church, they should be coming to receive a charge.
Right.
It should be some power, Daryl, coming up and down that ladder. If there is no power coming, I always tell people, you ain't got no power going on in the church, you need to find another one.
That's right.
Yes. If you can come to your church and get the same old warmed over milk that you got the last 2 weeks, there's a problem. God never called for that. God never called. Here's a question. Church unusual, right? What's the opposite of that? Church as usual, right? Where do we get this usual church from? What Bible were we reading to where it got to the point where we started doing church normal? Who told us that? Who taught us that? Where did we get this concept from? Where did we learn how to do church as 1, 2, 3B, 1, 2, 3C? Where did we get church like that? Where did this come from? A lot of times when you're trying to deal with a problem in your mind, you're trying to reverse some thoughts or some thought process you have that you know may be faulty, the way to do it is go back to the root and find out, where did I get this from?
That's right.
Who told me this? Who taught? Sometimes people just, who taught me this? And they got a line in there that says, it's not that we need a lack of historical church figures. I'm not saying it the right way, but it says we need a move from God, a supernatural move from God. I know there are people that came before us that paved the way for what the church is. I get it, I understand. But sometimes the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priest, I reject you because you the priest rejected the knowledge. And so somewhere along the line, I think it's thank God for a new day, say it. Thank God for a new day, say it. Thank God for a new day. Somewhere along the line, there was some religion, where I know it's a lot of religion, a lot of tradition that slipped in and tried to make us normal. There's nothing but the enemy, because the enemy knows if we ever be the church, there's nothing he can do with us. If we would ever be the church, say the church. If we would ever be the church, people would be beating down the doors trying to get in. You know, our plight right now, or what we deal with right now, is a lot of times we got to drag them into the church. Huh? We got to drag them in. You got to convince them. You got to talk to them for 2 hours before they agree to come visit on a Sunday. And then you hope that somebody say something right when they get there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Shouldn't be. This should be a funnel of power from heaven that resonates, that makes a sound, that gives out a vibration across the region, that people are coming to look for what you got to say in that church. This is church. This is what God planned on. So all that stuff that you think that you know about the church, I don't care how long you've been there. I don't care how long you've been in church, 30, 40, I don't care. All the stuff you think you know about the church, let's throw it out. All that stuff that ain't according, if it's usual, let's get rid of it. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, well, let me go back to the beginning of this story. And I just got to tell you, Church Unusual is happening all the time. Just my first class last week, right? Church Unusual started popping the day after we had our class. I walk in the house, and the pastor started talking to me. And I'm always ready because I never know what he's going to say. And so I'm always on my toes. I'm just, all right, what you going to say? You know, I don't know what you want to laugh right now. You going to ask me about the game? Am I about to get corrected? I walk in the house, what did I do? Like, you know, I'm just thinking, all right? And he started talking to me. He walked. He said, he do like this. And he said, you know, I had a vision. I said, oh, Jesus. He said, I had a vision. He said, I think, watch the Church on Hughes. He said, I think we're going to change church service from 9 to 10. And in my mind, I got to be honest, in my mind, I'm sitting there serious looking at him, but in my mind, I'm flipping. Because I'm just thinking about that extra hour I'm going to get on Sunday. It'll be real. Don't lie. I wasn't deep at all. I was like, Lord, that means I go to prayer at 9:15 instead of 8:15. Thank you, Lord. All right. But I kept it cool because I didn't want to be too excited because, you know. So he said, I don't know. He said, I had a vision. He told me the vision. He told me not to say nothing, so I got to follow instruction. And he said, I had a vision. He said, so I think he said, don't say nothing yet. He said, I don't know. But I think we're gonna change service from 9 to 10. Now, this is Church Unusual. Now, here's why it's Church Unusual. If anybody's familiar with Apostle Thompson, he's a stickler for the line. Like I'm sticking with the line. I'm not doing a lot of reckless stuff to be reckless. The Lord is gonna have to tell me to change something. Are y'all with me? Because hold on, let me go back. See, it's very easy to try to act Church Unusual. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. See, the power thereof is in the will of God. The power thereof is in the voice of God. The power thereof is in the leading of the Holy Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit is what makes the church unusual. So let me get rid of the foggy stuff. Don't go up now. I just heard a lot of preachers doing a lot of reckless stuff because they're trying to make the Spirit move. You got to flow with the Spirit. You got to flow with the leading. You don't say push the Spirit. You flow with the Spirit. So he said, we're going to change the 10. So that's Church Unusual right there. And he said, we're going to change the 10. So that's big enough for me because I'm now some of us have been here for a while, but I can't remember. I think we were doing 10 at our old site. And I remember we had to go to two services. We went from 8 and 10:30, I think it was, right? And so we changed from 10 to 8 to 10:30. But this, man, this is 20 years ago. And ever since we've been over here, we've been in 9 o'clock. This is, you're talking about 15, 20 years ago. We've been going nonstop. And I'm talking about we have never started church late. You ever been to them churches where they be starting late or they start, church start at 9, but they get there at 9:05? Or the choir, no, Apostle ain't had it. He walk out at, you ain't started at 9, he gonna walk out and say, what is wrong with you? Order. So it's that type of thing. He said, gonna change. So I was like, okay, this church is unusual. I get it. I'm with it. Let's roll. I'm cool with it. I understand. So then I just think it's over. Then he called me in the office again. No, matter of fact, I'm visiting. I'm across the river visiting one of my cousins. He was in, got in some trouble. Had to go minister to him, me and my brother. And so I get a message. I get a text from him. And he said, where you at? And I say, well, you know, I'm over here visiting. You know, I said, we over here visiting, you know, my cousin. He said, we who? And I said, me and Leroy Jr. Then I get another text. Say, Diana texts me, say, Pastor, be in his office in 5 minutes. I said, well, I can't really do that right now. I'm going to cross the river, but I'm going to be there as soon as I can. So I'm driving. So as soon as I get back, I got my suit on. As soon as I get back, I go in the office. His wife in there, Diana's in there, they sitting all in there. I'm walking in last, I'm walking in cautious. Because I don't know what is this meeting about? What are y'all, you know, what kind of change we about to make, right? So I walk in, and he starts telling me all the changes that we're going to make with the young people here. And some of the things that he wants to do are dealing with the young people. And you know, it kind of works me up, man, because to know that the Lord, for me, I love my father and I love my apostle. And I love him because I know that he hears from God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And not only do I know that he hears from God, but I know that he's not afraid to make whatever changes need to be made. If God tells him to do something, he'll move. He ain't care about no religion, no tradition, or nothing. If God tells him to make a change, he's going to make it at that moment. So he's telling me all this stuff, and I'm like, my mind is running. I'm up the whole day. I jumped around because I had been unknowingly preparing for that moment. Wow. Unknowingly, I've been spending, I mean, if anybody know me, I done spent countless hours Now I stay up all night, like working on different things, and I'm preparing, I'm praying. I had a meeting with some of the young people about some stuff we're doing, and I never made a big deal about it. And then he started telling me all this, and I was like, Lord, like, this is Church Unusual. This is about to get to that point. For me, at that moment, Church Unusual started kicking off. Now, it was already unusual, don't get me wrong, because you come to church on a Sunday, you never know what you're going to get. But the fact that it started moving, I'm just expecting to see what God going to do. I just want to be in the middle of it. I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray today. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to play my part, to do whatever I got to change in me, whatever you want me to think about differently, help me. Because I don't want, look, this is church. This is the epitome of Church Unusual. Just make the change when the Holy Ghost tell you to make the change. Not being afraid. That's why you don't need the board and all these people telling you what to do. Huh?
That's right.
You follow the Spirit. You don't follow the board. When God calls a man of God to be a leader, he calls a man of God to be a leader. Man or woman got to be a leader. He called them to be the leader. So whatever thus said the Lord, that is Church Unusual.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the call. So last week we started talking. I'm going to read a couple things out of the book. This first chapter really goes into detail, and I'll skip through and read a couple of things. I really want to get to the second chapter. Hopefully you read both of these chapters by now. We start off last week, and it says, the church is not natural to the earth. It's God's tactical operational base where he executes kingdom dominion over the kingdoms of the world and his rule over every domain of the world's systems. And I like this next line. I don't know if we underlined it last time, but it says, God can change his address and start living, moving, and expressing himself. This is on the first page of chapter 1. Expressing himself on earth as he did when he had the physical body of Jesus. So now we know we were two parts. Now there is the church, which is the building, the place that you go, the place that God placed in a region for a specific reason, to change that reason and to change everything around it, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
But then we have the church, which is me and you.
Yes, that's right.
All right? Now, the church can't be the church without the church.
Yes, sir.
All right? But the church can't be the church without. Take us together. When your power, this is a cartoon I used to watch and say, when your powers combine, that's when you get the power. You know what I'm talking about? When your powers combine, that's what happens, all right? So now, we being the church, this being the church building, we come together, God can do some unusual things. But we have to understand that we are unusual and the church is unusual. We have to know that about ourselves, because if the church comes to the church with a usual anointing, then maybe unusual can't happen in your life.
That's right.
This is why there's much prayer, much seeking after God's face, much asking the Holy Spirit, what's his leading? Because we have to be expecting God to do something unusual in the church when we get to the church. You know, this building, we said it last week, but this building would just do nothing but sit here and eventually rot if there were no us. It'd be abandoned. It wouldn't have any purpose. And so we have to bring that unusual anointing with us to the church. Are y'all with me? Now, whatever capacity, whether you're sitting in the pew or whether you're ministering from the pulpit, you have to come with that unusual anointing in you already. You have to be coming, expect. If you don't expect, you will not receive. If you don't expect the unusual, God won't do unusual things. He's always trying to be supernatural. What else can he be? God can be nothing else but supernatural, extraordinary. But we have to expect. We have to have our faith there, and we have to believe in the unusualness of the church, if I can say it that way. So it's two parts, us, the church building, and then the church, who is us. And I like this next part, and it says, a certain place becomes an awesome place. It's on page 2. And I won't read the whole scripture. It talks about Jacob when he saw the angels going up and down the ladder. And the next paragraph on page 3, it says, Jacob came to a certain place, an ordinary place, which soon became an awesome place. Now watch this next line. And I want you to find out what's been going on in the usual church. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
He used that place for rest to meet his personal needs, like most church members who use God's place and God's house without any consciousness that it's God's dwelling or habitation. Jump down a couple more lines. So I think it's the second to last line in that same paragraph. And it says, this unchanged soul has always used this place to meet his own needs. So now Jacob has come to a place and has used the place to lay down and to rest, not knowing that it was a special place. Not till I think the scripture said he went into a dream. Not till he saw the vision of the angels going up and down the ladder did he know that it was a special place. Not that he had, not till he had an experience with God did he know. Not till he had, listen to me, an experience with God did he know that this place was a special place. If you get to a church and you get to a building and there ain't no experience from God in there, this is not a special place. God should constantly be doing something in that place that he calls. I told you about all these churches on every corner. All these people ain't called to God to be at no church. So, but before, watch this, watch. But before Jacob had that experience with God, to him, this was an ordinary place. So, he comes and lays his head down and uses it to rest. Now, people be sleeping in church, huh? Uses it to rest, right? And uses it for his personal needs as opposed to seeing what God needs, as opposed to seeing what God wants. Every time you step into a service or a church building, God, there's something that God wants to do special in your life. Every time that you get up to minister, there's something that God wants to do. I know you're studying, you got your notes together. Do study to show yourself approved. But there's something special that God wants to do in that moment. It is not just for you to be running your mouth or to be saying the scriptures that you know. No. God has to anoint that moment. Amen. He has to anoint and enlighten and power that moment. Power up that moment so that somebody else can receive what God wants for them. Amen. This is church unusual. But until he had an experience with God, the place was normal. Until he had an experience with God and got over into another realm and allowed himself to be taken over to another realm of seeing and being, until he allowed himself that, the place was normal and all he could do was sleep. All he could do was meet his personal needs. I heard an apostle say something in his class last semester, and he made it very clear. He said, it is not our job as a ministry. It is not our job to meet the needs of the people. But hold on. Because the church as a whole right now, that's what we base it on. We're seeker friendly, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
We want to, you know, hey, everybody. We don't ruffle any feathers. No, we're not going to change service from 9 to 10 because we don't know how the people are going to feel. Nobody don't care how they feel. Well, God say, move.
That's right.
See, do y'all really think Jeremiah in the Bible and Elisha really had it? They really thought, oh, I wonder how the people feel about me striking this. No, Moses talked to the rock and did what he had to do. When Moses said it was time to go, the only person we need to be talking is me and God. When God tell me, that's a wrap. We don't need to have no meeting. You heard what happened. You saw what happened to Miriam.
Yeah, that's right.
You won't talk. Y'all won't talk about it. All right. It is not our job. A strong statement. But it's not our job to meet the needs of the people. I think it's Philippians 4:19. It says what? Is it 419 or 419? No, 419. Hold up, y'all quiet. Come on. Come on. Come on, ministry school, come on. I had the quiet in the house. Hold on. Do we need to have some Bible lessons? Come on, preachers. 419, somebody look at it and read it for me. Who? But who? Wait. Oh, hold on. The only reference to me was that he was mine. He's my God. But it didn't say anything about me meeting the needs. But where do we get this from? Church as usual. They told us, and the door of the church is open for every weary traveler that travels along the way. Stumble on in the door, and we're going to mend your wounds. Huh? And it sounds kind of harsh, don't it? I get you. We'll pray for you. We'll lay hands on you. But then we got to teach you something and get you to be able to walk on your own.
That's right.
It is not my job to meet the need. But my God, read it.
But my God shall supply
how many?
All
your needs. So it is God's responsibility to supply the needs. So why are we being so need conscious? That's why God can't do anything in the church like he wants to, because we should be saying, thus said the Lord, instead of what you need.
Wow. That's right.
Since when Since when they asked, what does that come from? Where do we get that from? Somebody got in and brought that doctrine, and we just took it as a whole. Yes, I understand we nice people. Be nice. Speak to somebody. Hug them. Hey, good morning. How you doing? I get all that, all right? But when it comes down to cutting this word, I ain't got no time to be thinking about what you need. I'm trying to teach you something.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. I'm trying to put some anointing in you so that when you leave out of this building, you leave with an experience, and you can take that experience somewhere else.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So now, but until there was a move from God, until there was an extraordinary move, it became a place just to meet the needs. Yes. And churches all over the world are need meeting churches. They're need meeting, they're program driven.
Yes.
It's further in this book. They're program driven, need meeting. They're doing all these different things to try to cater to the people. That is, nobody told you, you're a caterer now? I ain't never said nothing about cater to the people. So until there's experience from God, why is this? If somebody come into your service and they're always sleeping, and they're always using your place as a place of rest, and they always, nothing's ever changing, you need to check that power. And sometimes you got to check that power, you got to check your connection. Huh? There ain't no charge without no connection. This unchanged soul has always used this place to meet its own needs. Next paragraph, it says, unless God reveals himself by giving him, Jacob, a supernatural God encounter. I love that. Underline that, a supernatural God encounter. What's that next line? How would he miss him? Not a little bit, he'd have missed the total move of God. Unless God reveals himself by giving a supernatural God encounter, he would have missed God totally. Many people can miss the opportunity of meeting God and end up only using church to meet their needs. And that's now I gotta put that on the preachers though. If the people come in being needy, I gotta put that on the preachers. Because somewhere along the line, they didn't have an experience with God. To be able to bring an experience with God. See, it's very easy. You and I, y'all heard me say this before, you and I get up here and we can quote scriptures all day long. It is in your regular, unspiritual, logical mind, you can take a scripture and make it make some sense. Oh yeah, we do it a lot, don't we? We can take a scripture and we can make a text, we can preach on it, we can make it believable, right? Thank God for that. All right. Praise the Lord. Whoop, 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 whoop. Praise the Lord for you. But what we really need is to get in that word and get a revelation, something that's alive that we hadn't seen before.
Yes, amen.
See, them people heard it. There's people out in the world that know the Bible better than you.
That's right.
They know it better than the reverend. Then they're looking at it trying to prove somebody wrong.
That's right.
But see, you can't prove revelation wrong. And you can't prove when the Spirit of God shows up and starts to cut. That two-edged sword starts to cut up in there. You can't. Now, when it start cutting, there ain't nothing you can do about that. You ain't got no scripture for that one. That anointing just starts to cut. But that's a big experience from God. Whenever you up to minister, if I tell the Holy Ghost, if you ain't with me, or if you ain't coming with me, I'm not going out there. If you ain't going to give me no word, why you sign me up for this? And I know, watch this, I know, sometimes Apostle called me and said, yo, it's your turn tonight. I know if my number get called, God got a word for me. So all I got to do is go sit down and look for it. I got to go sit still and see what my word is. No. I don't go figure out what I feel like preaching. Oh, let me do part two of what I did last time, because that's easy. No. I'm looking for that fresh. I'm looking for what he got for now. I'm looking for what he got in this moment. So now me, I understand that I ain't got nothing right now. I'm teaching this class, right? Right now, I ain't got nothing for y'all unless the Lord give me experience. If the Lord stop right now and stop anointing me right now, I'm walking out the room. You're getting out early. Because I'm not trying to talk on my own. He's got to anoint me for every single second. See, when you start looking for it like that, when you start looking to have an experience with God, just because.
Yes.
Not because you got to preach. just because I love him. And just because I know if I can ever experience God in a special way, he'll do something not only special in my life, but allow his work to go through me to do something special for somebody else.
Amen.
But you got to look for him like that. We got to look for the unusual. The unusual is usually ain't on the surface. To find the unusual, sometimes you got to dig. You know when you're digging in dirt on there, anybody ever dug before? Anybody ever had to dig a hole or something? When you got to dig, some of y'all ain't never dug before. When you got to dig a hole, you got to get a little dirty sometimes. Sometimes you get a little dirt under your nails and take a little work. And sometimes it's hot outside and it be sweating. You got to get down in the hole, dirt flying all over your head. Sometimes you got to get dirty and get down up in there. But when you get down up in there, whatever you're looking for, when you find it, it's like a great joy. And sometimes that's how we got to be. We got to dig in this word. Everybody wants it handed to them. Here you go. Take that word and go preach. Here, take your outline. Go preach. No. The anointing ain't on the surface. You ain't never seen a treasure sitting on top of the ground, have you? You always got to dig. Anything precious has to be pressed for. Oh, that's good. Anything precious had to be pressed for. Anything precious has to be pressed for. So now this experience with God, you got to push your way there. You got to press for the prize. Are y'all with me? You got to look for him. On your everyday move, you got to look for him and see what he's saying. This is when church, not 10 o'clock on Sunday. This is when, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Not 10 o'clock on Sunday. This is when church becomes unusual. All right, what's the church? What's two parts of the church? The building, and then there's. So when you see, when you see church unusual, it's talking about you unusual. So y'all telling me that, all right, I said that one day, and I said, well, so I think I'll be talking to God. And I said, let me look at my time, make sure I ain't getting no trouble. I sit down, and I talk to God. So I talk to him. The Bible says, any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James 1:5, who give it liberally and upbraided not. So, hey, if I want wisdom, I'm going to ask you. Have not, because you?
Ask not.
He says, seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. All right, so I'm knocking. I'm trying to seek. I'm seeing whatever he's trying to say. All right, so I just be talking to God. I'll be like, yo, God, hey, this me, you know. Well, what's up with this? And how does this work? And I'd be digging. I'd be like, God, what's your original plan, though? I know what the church world does. But how do we get to that meat or that stuff before all that foolishness got in? And I'm trying to scrape all that foolishness off top of the water and trying to get to the living water. How do I get back over there? The Lord told me one day, he said, you really think I care about time? He said, do you really think that I care about time? Time is just something for y'all to put together so your mind won't flip out and you won't lose equilibrium. Because you got to know what time is. Like right now, this thing says 7:19, I got 10 minutes. I got to know my equilibrium before I get knocked off of my equilibrium by the apostle. Amen. Let me hit it again. Because I ain't getting knocked out. And so, do you really think if we hear from 10 on Sunday morning to 11:45 that God stops moving at 11:46? You think that's the goal? You think that's what he wants? No, not God to anoint that moment because you called that moment to be an anointed moment. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And he anointed in a special way because of the gatherings of anointings.
Wow.
Can I say it that way?
Wow. Yes.
You know the Bible talks about iron sharpens iron, right? Right.
Yeah.
When we get to church and we start clinging off each other, we're supposed to leave a little sharper.
Yeah.
I mean, when we get to church and your anointing show up and your anointing show up and you're right here in this room right now, your anointing, all of our anointing, we get to mingling all these giftings that God gave. All of them come from God, amen.
Yeah.
But we get to mingling these anointings. It becomes, if two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst.
Yeah.
That means when we gather together, there's a special anointing there.
Yeah. Right.
And it's a special anointing to birth something special in your life that you couldn't have done on your own.
Wow.
So at that moment, that particular moment when we've called the gathering, or when we've called, you're gonna think about church service different now.
Yeah.
You're gonna think about when you gather different. In your next class, you're gonna think about when you gather, when you come together different. Because when you come together different, what happens is your anointings come and it matters who's in the room. that further. I ain't going to get there tonight, but we go in the next chapter, I'm talking about your mission and your vision. I'm trying, McDonald. You talk about your mission and your vision. They say, some pastor, just bring everybody into their church. Now, but some people are supposed to be called there to fulfill the vision that God gave him. So who's there does matter. But when you get here, your anointing starts to mingle. Then God says, oh, they're calling on me. And then I didn't put it in my word that if two or three of them get together, I got to be in the midst. So he'll drop down right in that moment. Are y'all with me? He'll drop down right in that moment because you've gathered. But it doesn't end there. Because there's another gathering. Church Unusual. There's another gathering. Because the Bible said, well, two or three gathering in my name, there am I in the midst. Right. Well, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. How many parts am I? Three. Not two, but how many?
Three.
But he said two or three are gathered in my name.
Yeah.
There am I in the midst of that. So now me as a church now.
Yeah.
I got my own gathering. I wake up and have church on Tuesday morning. And I get anointed. I start seeing what God, and we can gather some more. Because if my three type being get with the three type being, and we always gather together, then, boy, that's church right there, boy. Those are the moments that God is really going to show you something special. In those moments when it's just you and him, and it's just your three parts and his three parts, it's just y'all six. That's when it starts changing. That's when God's give you that special anointing and that unusual. That unusual thing, he give you that. And then you take it and live with it and then bring it to the church with you next time you meet. It's not all about. For the longest, we got to stop being like this when we come. When I come to receive. I do, all right? When I come to service, I come to receive. I get it. But I don't just come to receive. I bring what I got.
Yeah.
I don't come, all right? The Bible says, give, and then what? So I got to come off leading to give. I got to come bringing myself and yielding myself and putting myself out there and putting my anointing out there for the use of the Holy Ghost. That don't mean you got to be on the pulpit. That might be me giving your prayer, giving your intercession for the service.
Yeah.
But I come in giving so I know, because when I give, I receive. Be not deceived, God in my mouth, whatever man soweth, that shall he also, what that shall he also, that, whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if I bring my anointing, you better believe I'm going to leave with some more.
Yes. 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 Yes.
This is Church Unusual.
Yes, sir.
I am done with the other stuff. I told him the other day, when they started talking about what we're going to do with these young people, and we started playing out, we said, well, he said, y'all start making some plans, figure out what y'all going to do. I said, listen. They say, well, we can do this. I said, you know what? I don't want to know nothing about what we did before. Don't tell me nothing about nothing we had planned and scheduled out already, because I don't want nothing to do with that. Give me unusual. Give me something fresh. I expect the fresh. I don't want nothing else but that. Do you want stale bread? No. I want something fresh. So I expect the fresh. This is Church Unusual. Y'all writing all this stuff in y'all notes?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes.
I've been talking about amen. Y'all better have. I've been sweating, man. This is Church Unusual. If we start being, listen. If we start being who we should be, it take a little while sometimes. Because I know we've been indoctrinated with some things. You know, and we become comfortable with some ritual ways that things are supposed to go. Throw it all out the window. Jesus ain't never done nothing ritual. What? Spit on the ground, put it in his eye? What? You put more germs? The man blind, you put more germs in his eye? No regard for what's regular. No regard for what's normal. No regard for what's usual. No regard for your church service. This is Church Unusual. Next week, we're going to start talking. I want you to read page 3. Woo. Trying to go through this book. First chapter really talks about what's about to happen in the church. And what God is desiring and what he's trying to do and who he's looking for. And apostolic shepherds that are coming. I want y'all to read chapter 2. I got it marked. I was supposed to get there tonight, but it just didn't happen. But it says God needs a gateway, a spiritual avenue for spiritual invasion into the cities of the earth. The church, the governing territorial churches, are the entrance point on earth. Just like Jacob saw them angels going up and down that ladder, the angels ought to be going up and down the ladder every time you minister. The angels, what? Them angels ought to be going up and down the ladder every time you minister. Every time you minister, heaven should be open and something should be coming up and down. You ain't got to see it, but it got to be happening. This church unusual. I'm not, y'all, listen. If you are here to get that paper at the end when you graduate, and if you are here to go back and do it normal, you need to quit this class now. Because I'm going to preach all usuality, and I don't even know that's a word. Usuality, usualness, usualosities. I'm going to preach all of that out of you. You're going to feel like you can fly when we finish this class. The Holy Ghost is going to touch it. Listen, you're going to come here preaching like you out of your mind. Next time, whoever heard you preach before, they're going to be like, what happened to you? And they're going to tell them church unusual happened. We ain't the church as normal no more. All right, y'all get all that old stuff out your mind. Now, we're going to make some progress. Can we make some progress this semester?
Yeah.
We're going to make some progress. You working on your own personal time. Don't just be studying that to be studying that. Don't you be looking at the book so you pass that test. Look at that book so you can learn something and apply it to your life.
Yes, sir.
And apply that, and then we can make some progress. Listen, it all depends on what we decide to do. So in your personal time, get all that old stuff out your mind, what you think the church is. Go see what the Word of God says the church is. Go see what Jesus said about the church. Don't read the bylaws. Huh? Y'all know about the bylaws of the church?
Oh, yeah.
What about your bylaws? Trying to be unusual. Bless you.